Hello everyone, TFG1 Mike here from the GeekCast Radio Network and TuneCast. Before we come to this potentially final episode for now, this is going to be the 303rd episode of TuneCast overall in the last 14 years. And I just wanted to say that I had a brain fart halfway through the end of this episode as Eduardo and I were discussing Into and Across the Spider-Verse, the first two Spider-Verse films. Because the strike is still going on. First things first. Myself, Eduardo, TuneCast, and the GCRN stand with SAG-AFTRA. I've done plenty of research on this, and it is perfectly fine for us to be covering this content. So, just wanted to put this out there before the episode that we do stand with SAG-AFTRA. Please, as you'll hear us later in the episode go on and on and on about this, companies, pay your people what they deserve, what they're worth, and what they need to live. But yes, SAG-AFTRA, we are with you. And Eduardo and I just had a fun time talking about these two films that we watched, which is Into and Across the Spider-Verse. And we cannot wait for whenever the eventuality release of Beyond the Spider-Verse will happen. So, here's the show.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the GeekCast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to TuneCast. This is the 303rd episode of the podcast brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve Joe and Mike, and joining me this time is Eduardo M. Friar? Friar? I never know how to say his
Friar.
Last name. There you go.
Friar.
Duck.
Friar. Yeah. Friar Tuck, Friar Lawrence from Romeo and Juliet, Deep Friar, you know, just think about it that way.
Yes, and today we are going to be going into and across the Spider-Verse, so we are doing a double feature in this one episode, because I'm too lazy and don't want to edit two separate podcasts for Spider-Verse, Into the, and Across the whatever. You know, I forget when, and we'll get to it later, but I forget when the third one, the final chapter, is supposed to come out, but when they named it what they named it,
Yeah,
it's either next year or the year after or 2026 or 20, I don't remember. We'll get to that down the line here, but when they named it what they named it, I'm like, oh, Beyond the Spider-Verse. So when is Batman showing up? Because Batman Beyond.
No, I get it.
All right, so first up, 2018, Into the Spider-Verse. Did you see that? Was this in theaters? This was in theaters, wasn't it? Or was it not?
Yeah.
It was.
No, it was in theaters. It was definitely in theaters.
Did you see it in theaters?
Yes.
What was that experience
and actually,
like?
It was mind-blowing. It was, holy cow, this is awesome.
Miles! Yeah. Gotta go.
If you want me to drive you, we gotta go now.
No, Dad, I'll walk.
Personal chauffeur going once.
It's okay.
Seriously, Dad, walking would have been fine.
Breaking news, Spider-Man saves the day again.
Spider-Man. This guy swings in once a day, zip-zap-zop, Nancy.
I know.
Accountability.
Speed up. You know, I know these kids.
Yo, Miles, man, you get arrested?
Guys, don't cops run red lights?
Well, yeah, some do. But, not your dad.
In your universe, there's only one Spider-Man. But there is another universe. It looks and sounds like yours, but it's not.
My name's Miles Morales.
Hey, kid. You're like me. How?
I knew my day would come around this time.
I know it's complicated.
Just had to get my soul to freedom.
I want to know what happened to you. I can teach you to be Spider-Man.
I love this burger. So delicious. One of the best burgers I've ever had. You have money, right? I'm not very liquid right now.
I think you're going to be a bad teacher.
How am I supposed to save the whole world?
You can't think about saving the world. You have to think about saving one person.
One thing I know for sure, don't do it like me. Do it like you.
Brooklyn!
Stop us now. I ain't worried about a loss or a new friend.
I see this spark in you. It's amazing.
Hands up!
Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great.
I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I want to hear it.
You want to hear me say it?
I love you, Dad.
You're dropping me off out of school?
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
Time to swing, just like I taught you.
When did you teach me that?
I didn't. It's a little joke for team building.
Hey, guys.
Okay, who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. Come on.
How many more spider people are there?
Save it for Comic-Con.
What's Comic-Con?
Let's go!
This movie and Homecoming are like my... You know, here's the thing. My wife is not a big Spider-Man fan, but this movie and Homecoming are like, oh, this is, yeah, no, I'm a fan now. You know, this made her a fan.
Cool. Yeah, no, I did not see this in theaters. I knew of this, and I've known about Miles for a long time. I just never really delved into his universe and his side of everything. And so,
you know what? I'm kind of the same way. I know of Miles in the comics. You know, anytime he's interacted with the larger Marvel universe, you know, I've seen that.
Yeah.
My thing is just, yeah, like, I was never into the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I heard, you know, oh, you know, Peter Parker's dead. Now here's the new Spider-Man. And I'm like, huh. But, you know, I have looked in on and I've been like, wow, there are some pretty, you know, like Miles, interesting character. And, you know, definitely I do like that he's been alongside.
Yeah.
Peter Parker.
Well, they each have their own specific whatevers, and that's great they're in there. Because everybody's like, oh, well, the Ultimates universe went away. Let's bring it back. Oh, well, the whatever the DC, oh, man, is it Vertigo? Oh, no, it wasn't Vertigo. It was Milestone. Milestone went away. Let's bring it back, which is great. I'm very much looking forward to some of the stuff that Milestone has planned in the future or whatever else. Same thing with this. I like Miles. I think he's a cool character. And I think where I liked him, not more, but where I really started to like him was in the video games and the PS whatever, the Sony video games. The Marvel's Spider-Man and Spider-Man, what the hell's the middle one? Miles Morales, dumbass. So yeah, I really liked him, and I liked him in the games first, and then I liked him in this. I thought he was really good. So, I mean, you know, came out in 2018. I did not see it in theaters. I didn't. Actually, it's funny, when it hit digital, I went ahead and bought it, and I was going to do it with somebody at some point years ago when it first came out, and it never actually happened. And then, you know, Bob's your uncle, there's into, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's do this. And here we are now. So yep. I've pretty much up until about probably a week and a half ago had not, I just bought the damn thing on Vudu and just left it there. Like, it's not that I didn't want to watch it. It's just that I watch and read and listen to so many other things. If I wasn't doing it for a podcast, then it wasn't something that was – and that's how I usually am on most – not just this, but anything. If I'm not doing it for podcast coverage, I'm most likely not paying attention to it.
You know what? Don't worry about it. I've got stacks. I've got stacks of DVD and Blu-rays and stacks of, like, comic trades that I've been meaning to, like, you know, sit and read, and then, you know, life happens and it's like, oh wait, oh crap, I haven't read that yet. Like, you know, I just, you know, my birthday was like about a week ago, you know, from when we're recording this, and I got, you know, for my birthday I got the Babylon 5 movie, I got, you know, the Venture Brothers movie, and it's like, I gotta watch both, and it's like, I'm going to do that, you know, like, I'm going to do that this time. No, wait, actually, maybe this time. It's like, Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
I'll do it today. Yeah. No, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it this week. No, yeah. I'll do it next week. Thing you know, well, the next birthday's here.
Yeah. Well, you know, fortunately, you know, there are, you know, it's like also you got to like take into account, you know, well, you know, this for, you know, who's, you know, who's, I'm a fan of Babylon 5, but, you know, Trish hasn't watched it yet. So it's like, it's not like I can be like, hey, Trish, let's watch the Babylon 5 animated movie. Yeah. You know, how is she supposed to watch something that she's never, you know, seen?
Yep.
Especially given how complicated it is. So, yeah, it's, I understand. You know, I understand and I feel you.
Yep. So, like I said, came out in 2018. It's pretty much the story of Miles Morales and dealing with you know, his father's expectations, and his Uncle Aaron is a, you know, not exactly the best guy in the world, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he lives in a world where there is Peter Parker, Spider-Man, the traditional 616 sort of, even though this isn't 616, this is Earth 1610, I think, is his universe, is Miles' universe, if I remember that correctly, because I know it's not Earth 42.
I believe they said 1610.
Yeah. So, but it's the traditional Peter Parker, Aunt May, Uncle Ben, Peter kind of thing. And, well, Kingpin kills him, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of like the comic book Ultimate Universe in the sense that Miles is picking up a legacy,
mm-hmm.
rather than a you know, so yeah, it is, it in there it's like, yeah, it's like the more things change, the more things stay the same. Yeah, no, that's, I do, which by the way, I do love the montages. That, you know, that running joke of all the montages where, you know, the different spiders go through their origins.
I liked it at first. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, well, I do like that, you know, when we get to the last one, you know, somebody goes, okay, I swear, it's the last time.
Yeah. I liked it at first, but after, you know, you do the same, and I get it, I want to have flowing continuity as much as the next person, but I don't know. It just, this movie, Into the Spider-Verse, it's one of the only animated films to ever really feel like the comic book pages are coming a lot, because they specifically call out comic books and they call out various things of, like you just said, it bookends to it where it's like, hey, this is my story, or this is his story, this is her story, or whatever else. After about the fifth character, or however many characters there are, after about the fourth or fifth time, I'm like, okay, I get it. And some of them I really enjoyed because I didn't know crap about the characters, but just the formulaicness of it, it was just kind of wearing on me after a while. But overall, in concept, I love the concept. It's just, I think it was overused a little bit. But how else are you going to tell those stories? So,
yeah.
Well, you know.
And they remind me a lot. They do remind me a lot of, what do you call it? I do get reminded also. It feels, I love that they got through it.
Uh-huh.
It's like these origin recaps were like running. I love the running through it type of nature of these recaps.
Yep.
Because it's not, yeah, it's not the usual, all right, let's take 10 minutes out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we got a new character, we have to do the origin. It reminds me a lot of All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, look, you know the basic story, we can get through this in a heartbeat. It's like, here, you know, this person does this, you know, it's like, yeah, here's the gist. That's what you need to know. We don't need to get into any, like, deep stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I appreciate, part of me appreciates that, because it's like, yeah, this is, it can get just so annoying. It's like, we really don't need, you know, we really, like, we're doing this person's origin. Quick, let's take, you know, 1 minute out of this to show that they are freaking out over which shirt they're going to wear today. It's like, get on with it.
And I get it. His name is, and this is, this just catches me now as I'm kind of scrolling through the Wikipedia article about this, just to kind of have it up so we can discuss it. Why? So his Miles's parents. Maybe this is a multicultural thing. I don't know. His father's name is Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the ironic and interesting and nice homage thing to be to have his name be, and I guess Miles Davis, Miles Morales, not exactly, you know, Miles Davis Spider-Man doesn't really, now that I say it, doesn't really work. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, wait a minute, why don't his parents have this? Okay, whatever. I don't want to think about it too much. But yeah, so we're in his universe. Basically, Miles is a normal kid. He's got a Spider-Man in the 1610 universe, and Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Tale as old as time. We already know that, like we've said. What I love is how different and cool and interesting these villains, like, they are your standard Spidey villains. Green Goblin, Doc Ock, etc., etc. But, like, Green Goblin is just a monster. I mean, it is, I think it's supposed to be Norman, right? If I'm reading this right?
Probably.
Okay, so, but it, essentially, though, it's just the monster, it's just the goblin monster version of Norman. It's not, like, Norman in a weird 2002 suit. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, so there's Goblin the Monster, there's the female Doc Ock, and I generally don't care either way if people want to switch the genders of characters. If it works for the story, it works. End of story, in my opinion. And I liked her. I thought she was really cool.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. You know, she was, you know, this was a really cool interpretation of Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
and something different. Something a little different. And it still keeps. I mean, hey, it still works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It still works.
I mean, it's not. Yeah. No, I'm not. You know, it's, you know, I like it. Catherine Hahn. It's like, yeah, no. Oof.
Yep.
Definitely. I'm just like, okay, whoever made this decision, you know, like, if it was me, whoever made this decision, guess what? Raise.
Yep.
You get a raise. Yep.
Absolutely. So the whole point of the plot is that they are infiltrate. So Peter dies. Miles gets bitten by a spider that is not of this world. I don't want to spoil it for later, but
yeah, there's,
because I noticed,
let's just say it's not your regular, you know, just like how Peter was bitten by a radioactive spider. This is a radioactive spider, but a little.
It's not your friendly neighborhood one. It's a
little different. Yeah,
a little different.
The reason for the radiation is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yep. So they, so he meets up with Gwen Stacy, who is a Spider-Woman from another dimension. They visit May Parker, who is Spider-Man's aunt. And then we end up meeting up with more spider people with from the other dimensions due to the collider. So the collider exploded. So Kingpin's ultimate plan this entire movie is, I want my family back. Well, you shouldn't have killed him in the first place. Anyway, it's not what happened, but there's... Well,
Yeah.
So...
They were collateral damage. Kingpin's like, let me, you know... Oh, wait, we have a multiverse. You know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I... You know, I can actually see, you know, Kingpin's whole thing. I can actually see him. I could actually see, you know, Scarlet Witch from Multiverse of Madness kind of looking in on it and be like, dude, you may want to, you know, you may want to hold off. Like, you may want to rethink that. It doesn't work well.
Yeah. And as much as I like, we're not there yet. Okay. As much as I like Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
As Sabretooth in that other live action thing. I really wanted Vincent D'Onofrio. Oh, it would have been so good. Lev does a great job too, but
it would have been interesting. It would have been interesting.
Very interesting.
But you know, I'm okay with it. Like, I love Vincent D'Onofrio. If I had to wait until he did Hawkeye, and it was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, glad to have him back. I mean, it would have been cool. It would have been cool. But, you know, it also reminds me of the fact that we had, jumping to the end of this first movie, we did have a chance where another person could have voiced a character.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Instead they went with somebody else. But the somebody else that they went with, I'm like, no, this is good. I can't get mad.
So yeah. Miles and Gwen meet up with Spider-Man Noir, Penny Parker, and Spider-Ham. Spider-Man Noir. Man, that Ghost Rider is just punishing.
No. Bad. Ghost in the corner.
You know, I mean, I could have said that Noir performance is superior. So, you know,
since he was
Spider-Man Noir lives.
I am a bad man.
Oh, Nicolas Cage, you son of a bitch!
Didn't get the Superman on big screen, but. Here's a little consolation prize. You get to be Spider-Man. Sort of.
Yep. Now, what do you think of these characters here? The Noir, the Penny Parker, the Spider-Ham, all that.
Honestly, cool. You know, like I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed seeing the difference. Like, I, you know, we wouldn't have had Spider-Verse. You know, we wouldn't have this Spider-Verse without the original Spider-Verse. Yeah. And I'm talking about, well, okay, maybe not original. Sorry, John Semper, I don't want to steal your thunder, but, you know, when Dan Slott did the comic book Spider-Verse.
Yes.
There we go. You know, I think we wouldn't, you know, that was really like the inspiration for you know, for this.
Yeah.
And I think without that, I love the idea of all these different, you know, spider personas, you know, popping up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just like, yeah, no, I am here for it. You know, I'm here for it. I like it. I love it. I can't hate it. You know, I can't hate it. I love the little, and I think actually they were, all of them were really well cast. You know, I like Hayley Stansfeld as Gwen.
Yep.
I love the voice Penny Parker, Spider-Ham, John Mulaney. Perfect. Nick Cage. Yeah, no, that was also perfect. You know, and it was subtle Nick Cage.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't
over the top. Yeah, it wasn't over the top, yeah. Nick Cage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I have no complaints over the voice cast for our various spider people. And you know, the main Peter Parker that ends up mentoring Miles. Yeah, I know that. I know that in the Ultimate Universe, that eventually it was like, oh yeah, no, Peter's alive. And you know, I know that 616. I know that when Miles did the jump to 616, that that Peter has become kind of you know, a mentor to Miles. That to me, it's like, okay, I can't. You know, again, it's one of those things of that's really cool, and what I and I love the twist that we have here,
mm-hmm.
where Peter is a mentor to Miles. You know, we still have Peter being a mentor to Miles, but this Peter is we're not exactly with Mr. Miyagi here.
No,
I mean it would be Mr. Miyagi if Mr. Miyagi. You know, I think this Peter is closer to what's his name? He's a lot closer, I think, in spirit to Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi.
Oh God,
Mr. Miyagi. You know, this is a Peter that, you know, has kind of been through some, you know, been through some stuff and who's got issues, and it's like, okay, we're gonna, you know, yeah, we're gonna, you know, don't mind me. I'm just, you know, I'm here lamenting over the fact that, yeah, the lady I love is like, yeah, she's not having it. So yeah. I like it. I like it. It's really, it's an interesting variation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are some of the other characters' voices that you like out of this? We've got, like you said, we've got Haley Steinfeld as Gwen. We've got Shemek Moore as Miles. We've got Jake Johnson as Peter B. Parker. We've got Marcella Ali as Aaron Davis. We've got Brian Tyree Henry as Jefferson Davis. We got Lily Tomlin as May Parker, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, that was a good one. That was a good one. Do we jump ahead with a little bit of a spoiler?
Sure. There are spoilers around here. Okay. So.
Okay. Well, no, because we do have an end credits scene, which has Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
Voiced by Oscar Isaacs, which I thought was perfect. And he ends up jumping into... it's, what was it, the 70s Spider-Man cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then what really got me, especially when I realized this, because I didn't catch it the first time, but then I caught it, like, later on, the fact that, you know, we do have a classic J. Jonah Jameson being like, I want pictures of him. I want the menace of Spider-Man.
What
got me is that it's Stan Lee.
No, it's not. Oh, yep. In the first one or the second one?
The end credits scene in the first one, that's Stan.
Okay, that's Stan. Okay, I was gonna say I'm like, okay. Yeah,
they did like instead of going for the obvious, you mm-hmm. know, pulling out J.K. Simmons, they got Stan Lee.
Yeah.
They do have J.K., you know, pulling out, but mm-hmm. in this case, the 60s one, they have Stan Lee. And I didn't realize it at first, but then when I, like, watching it again, and then looking up, I looked it up on IMDb, I looked up the trivia, and then when I watched it again, I heard it, and I'm just like, Stan as J. Jonah. It's like, that was just beautiful. That was beautiful. You know, yeah, it's not the J.J. we come to expect, but you know what? I'm not mad.
Yeah, and it's Stan. I'm not mad at all. Yeah. Yeah.
And then plus, I mean, his Stan Lee cameo
mm-hmm.
Earlier in the film, because, you know, he plays like the owner of a costume shop who, you know, gives Miles a, Miles buys a
suit.
His Spider-Man outfit. Yeah. That was just, it's like, if you're going to give Stan Lee a cameo in a story like this, this is just beautiful. Especially mm-hmm. because, yeah, this was, you know, a couple of years before his death, and it's just like,
you know, the film came out in 2018, so they probably did the production on it 16, 17 maybe, mm-hmm. but Lee died in November of 2018, the year the movie came out.
Yeah, I know he died. Yeah, he died. I know that he passed away. Yeah, he passed, but
yeah,
definitely. I mean, it's watching it like, okay, watching it before Stan Lee passes away, his cameo is beautiful.
Yeah,
watching it after, it takes on, like, meaning gets added, and it's just, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so overall, I like the plot for Into the Spider-Verse. I think it's good. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting. The animation and the color, the art design in this movie, oh my, it's explosive. I don't think I've ever been hit so hard with colors before.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I like it. I love the just like the animation style. You know, just like it's so different. It's not like this movie's CGI, but it's not, you know, standard CGI, like, you know, animation. You know, they don't just take from, like, you know, it's not Minions or, you know, Pixar or something. It's its own unique thing, and it pops, especially just the use, you know, the use of, like, the graffiti-like patterns, you know, and it fits the character of Miles.
Yeah, the graffiti and the glitching, too. The glitching good. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about Spider-Man in animation over the years is every series, we may not like every series, but every series from the 60s to today, every series has a different style and a different flavor and a different feel, and that's good. But I've never seen, in all my years of watching Spider-Man in animation, I've never seen, like, this is basically a piece of art. Both of these films, but the, you know, obviously we didn't know about or whatever the thing with the second one at some point, whatever, because you know, you got to be, oh well, what if it makes the money? Sure, but we don't know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, just piece of art, absolutely.
I think of what Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Guillermo del Toro said once when I was watching like a behind the scenes thing. I forget if it was from one of the Hellboy movies or Pacific Rim, but he said that he doesn't believe in eye candy. He believes in eye vitamins, and I'm just like, you know what? These are eye vitamins.
Yeah,
it's like this is definitely definitely eye vitamins, and it's like, yeah, it's just, it's, oh lordy, how do I say this, well, you know what, yeah, no, it's you know, it's sex for the eyes,
pretty much. Yeah,
you know, it's sex. You know you watch this afterwards, the eyes pop out of your head and they're smoking a cigarette and they're like, wow, oh, was it good for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And everything with this movie, everything comes together so well between the design of it, the animation of it, the voice cast, the music is great. The score is great. The songs they use in the movie itself are awesome. They fit the style of Miles's universe and Miles himself so well. Very, very cool.
Yeah, and even the glimpses that we get of the other universes.
Yep.
That's also.
You
know, I mean, they also. Yeah, it's. It's like it's just all good. It's all good, baby, as they say. You know,
Yep. All right. So we've got. I think the box office on the first movie was. I think the budget was something like $90 million, and the box office was over $380 million.
Yep.
So there's that.
Oh, definitely a success. I mean, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah.
We have got the GCR Universal Rating System as well as the TuneCast Recommendation System. So going on the TuneCast Recommendation System, for those that don't remember it, one is don't watch this even if it's free. Two is worth a watch if it's free on TV. Three is worth adding to the streaming service list. And four is this one's a must add to your DVD Blu-ray collection. I'm not doing, I do some physical media, but I don't do a lot of physical media anymore just because it's too much stuff. So out of that 1 to 4 scale, I will give this a 3.
I give it a 4. I still do.
Yeah.
I still do the physical media thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like physical media, you know, thing. How do I put this? Shit happens. You know, shit happens. Things, you know, sometimes the streaming isn't working, or the streaming service that you use doesn't, you know, put this, you know, put the actual, you know, movie you're looking for up, and it's good to have a backup.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I'm not, you know, I would much rather, you know, I'd much rather have something physical to fall back on than to be like, oh, I'm going to, you know, yeah, I'm just going to not have this piece of physical, you know, this piece of media, you know. It's like, I'd rather much have it. I'd rather much have it. And you know, and I have, you know, Blu-ray players and stuff I can fall back on if need be. So, yeah, you know, it's...
The crazy thing is, and I know this is going to be blasphemous for me to say this, I don't know. So my biggest problem, this is one of the reasons why I switched to digital stuff years ago, and I still have physical, I still have plenty of physical media. I just don't have this on physical, or this or the sequel on physical media. I have it through Vudu because that's just easy. I purchased it through there, so that way, I, as long as Vudu doesn't disappear, I'll still have it. Of course, you know, that what a crapshoot. Yep. But I don't think for me that I would go back and watch either of the, like, we're going to get into the second movie in a few moments, folks, after an ad break here in a hop, skip, and a jump. But I don't think for me I would necessarily need these on physical media, because I don't think flipping through my DVD binder would I, unless I really, really needed it. Now that I know the story, now that I've seen it, now that I've experienced it, I've had the experience, I've enjoyed the experience, this isn't a go-to for me. And I'm not saying that to be negative or anything like that. I'm just saying that it isn't something that, like, summer 20, okay, maybe when the third film comes out, maybe I'll go back and revisit the second movie, which we'll discuss that in a moment, like I said. But I don't know, I don't feel like this is in my rotation of I must watch this every once a year, every 6 months, however you want to say it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, that I think that's fair. But you know, it's, hey, you know, I mean, to each his own. I mean, there are movies I love. Again, there are movies that I love that I really want to watch.
Yeah.
That that, yeah, I find myself, it's like, yeah, today I'm going to watch this. Actually, no. You know, yeah. Like, yeah, there is, you know, there are movies that I find myself going, yeah, no, I'm going to watch this now, and then something happens, and it's like, yeah, no, I can't. Yeah. But, you know, it happens. It happens. You know, I don't. What can I tell you? You know, yeah. it's like that happens, but you know, you just, it's like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, we have Spider-Verse is part of this first movie is part of our collection. Will others be a part of it? You know, will the other two? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whenever.
Cool. I'm surprised you don't already have the second movie, since it's already out.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah, no, I probably should. It's but it's one of those things. It's like, it's like, okay, I should get the second movie, and then it's like, yeah, there's just the buy list is so big. It's like, okay,
yeah,
but you know, but hey, that's one of the great things about the holidays coming up, you know, you put it on the list for Santa, and, you know, hopefully Santa blesses you with, you know, hey, Merry Christmas, here's Spider-Verse.
Yep.
So, you know, hope springs eternal.
Exactly. And on the GCR Universal rating system, I put the link to this page in every episode post.
Yes, you did.
So I will put that there as well. For me, I'm probably going to give it a 4.5 because I'm not like this. The reason why it doesn't make that other half point for me is I'm not going to go back and rewatch it. But 4.5 for those that don't know, remarkable. One of the best you'll see in nearly any given year. Those that are fans of the medium would be doing themselves a disservice if they missed out on this stunning achievement. While certain issues do occur, they are overwhelmingly overshadowed by the triumphs. Overall, huge step forward for the medium. So that would be my rating. What is your rating? You already said add to the collection. What's your universal rating for this one?
Oh, man. I give it a 5.0 masterpiece. Seriously. I mean, this is just, it's, yeah, no, it, I definitely masterpiece. And it also, cause I mean, it's, I'm one of those, you know, I'm one of those that when people are complaining, it's like, that's not right, you know, fill in the blank. I'm just like, you know what? You're right. Okay. You know, for me, Peter Parker will always be Spider-Man. It's like, okay, good for you. That, you know, is not, I mean, it just so happens, yeah, this Spider-Man's not for you, but I love it.
Yeah.
Like, Miles is not for me, but I'm still, I love his story. I love, you know, and I love it all. And honestly, you know, maybe one of these times I should dip into the comics and find like a great, Miles Morales comic to read. This makes me want to do that.
Well, there you go. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick ad break. Like I mentioned, you're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back with Across the Spider-Verse right after this.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books. And sound effects.
Oh, yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
I can hear you being quiet, Mom.
Hope I didn't ice your game, man.
No one my age says those words in that order.
It's just hard to see my little man not being my little boy all the time.
Yeah.
For years, I've been taking care of this little boy. Making sure he is loved. That he feels like he belongs wherever he wants to be. He wants to go out into the world and do great big things.
Not bad, kid.
And what I worry about most...
I love you, Miles.
...is they won't look out for you like us.
Miles!
Want to get out of here? Wherever you go from here, you have to promise to take care of that little boy for me. Make sure he never forgets where he came from. And He never doubts that he is loved. And he never lets anyone tell him that he doesn't belong there. You gotta promise, Miles.
I promise.
Who do you think you are? Really?
We are supposed to be the good guys.
We are.
Alright, folks, we are back, and just like those comic book origins, just pretend the comic book flipped back to the beginning, because now we are at Across the Spider-Verse, dun-dun-dun, came out this year. Holy crap.
Yep.
Time just eludes me. It's a... yes, so...
Well, you're not alone, dude. You're as the wonderful song from, you know, a certain late pop star goes, yeah, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
He died. Yeah, 2000. Wow, it's been a long time now since 2008. So Across the Spider-Verse basically takes Into the Spider-Verse and explodes the whole thing. And what I love about this is we start out in Gwen's universe. That's cool.
Oh yeah, no, we get a look at Gwen Stacy's universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love just the flip the script.
Yep.
I love how the script gets flipped, and I'm just also like, you know, it's not only just flipping the script, but the interesting variations, like the fact that, you know, Peter Parker turned into a monster. It's like, whoa, okay, whoa, hold on a sec. Wait a minute here. It's like, hold on. Whoa, we got Monster Peter. What? You know?
I'm glad they did him as the Lizard and none of the other villains. Like, yeah. Glad that they... So my buddy JT and I, JT from Saskatoon, who is Canadian... We covered, as I mentioned in the bad joke with Nicolas Cage earlier, even though it has nothing to do with Nicolas Cage, we covered one of the first things we covered 10 years ago when the pullback started over on the comic book show. I was tired of Peter Parker gets bit, Green Goblin, I was tired of your standard. I wanted something different. And along comes Norman Osborn, yeah. Doc Ock as the superior Spider-Man.
Yes, yeah, Doc Ock is, so, yeah. Otto Octavius is the superior Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yes, so I'm glad this did not put her Peter as anyone else other than the Lizard. Because if this Peter was superior, that would just... It would probably, if that had happened in this second film, it would probably be an automatic 2.5 rating for me on the universal scale.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Yes, rampaging Peter Parker as the Lizard.
Yep. With added, and it's interesting because you get that added bit of tragedy because
in every other universe, it's she that dies, not him.
Right. Well, and also because remember we had, in the first Spider-Verse movie, we had, you know, Miles finding out that Aaron was
the Prowler,
and then finding it out because it's like, oh, and by the way, he's gonna die. Yep. You know, that in and of itself, it's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, hold it, you know, it's like. Dang, you know, who saw that one coming? It's like, so I'm all, you know, I was just all, wow, okay, this is actually not what I was, you know, it's like, holy cow, you know, we have this again, you know, yes. And I'm just like, wow, I am totally here for it. I'm totally here for that. Having, you know, another thing where someone you love turns out to be a monster.
Yep. Absolutely. And so, yeah, so we get that, and that puts her dad, George Stacy, onto her because he's the police captain, and he's going to arrest her for Peter's whatever and all that.
Peter's.
One night she encounters an Italian Renaissance version of the Vulture.
Oh my lord. That was, you know, we were talking about animation for, you know, Into.
Yep.
The animation for that whole, that thing of like, the Renaissance Vulture. I love it, man. It was like taking one of those Leonardo da Vinci anatomical drawings and bringing it to life. And I'm like, oh man, that is just so awesome. It's like, oh yeah.
Yep.
That was so cool.
Yeah, that was
so cool. Yeah. That's our first little taste. Well, that and Gwen's backstory are our first little taste of one of the things that I think makes this movie such a great sequel.
Yeah.
Is you're dealing with all these alternate realities, and each one has its own little style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this isn't just, well, we're going to Spider-Man India, so Manhattan's going to look, more like New Delhi. And that's it. It's like, no, it's going to have a different feel. It's going to have a different flair to it. You know, there's going to be, you know, this is going to be brighter at points. It's like, the Vulture, you know, we have this whole Renaissance look to him. You know, the spider-punk world. It's like, oh. It's all just, ooh.
That's what I noticed about this movie more so than the first one. So the first one pretty much takes place in 1610.
Yep.
In Miles's universe. It doesn't it's not even really, I mean, you're going into the Spider-Verse by bringing the characters to his universe. This one, every universe has a different color palette in the style of the animation that we've known from these two movies. Like, you can clearly tell, like, even though I didn't see, we'll talk about the twist, and yes, folks, again, your X number of minutes, whatever, you're 47 minutes into this podcast, if you didn't realize there's going to be spoilers. So I'm just going to tell you right now, folks.
Yeah.
When that twist happens later, I was like, wait, what? Oh, because I can tell the difference, because clearly they show a difference between 1610, Earth 65, Earth 42, all this stuff. And I love that because it defines each world. It's not like Miles is confused because he thinks he's gone back, but then he realizes, oh, no, that's not the case. And man, that I was not expecting that.
Yep.
It's so good. So good.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Pretty much the same cast, so I don't think we have to really delve too far into the cast again since we already did that.
We do have, like, the additions of Jason Schwartzman as the Spot.
Okay, yes. We can.
Daniel Kaluuya as Spider-Punk.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we got... something that I wasn't expecting, and I was like, okay, wow, we have Andy Samberg as Scarlet Spider emoting, and I'm just and I was just like, you know what, sure, I'm having such a good time.
Yeah,
the thing for me, not so much voice cast, but I'm still like, whoever thought of this, you were a genius, sir. And, you know, kudos to you. You deserve a Nobel Prize. Having a live action appearance by Donald Glover as an alternate version of Prowler.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like, oh my lord, genius. Genius. Thank and you. Then, and then we did get like a few cameos from we did get like archive footage of Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane and some of the other Spider people.
But
there's one Spider-Man. There's one Spider-Man though I wish we would have had. There's one Spider-Man I really wish we would have had. I was hoping he would show up. In fact, I want him to show up in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we not have an appearance by the the Japanese Spider-Man with the giant mech?
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to be insensitive here. Isn't that technically what Penny is supposed to be? I know the Japanese Spider-Man is a different character, but when Penny Parker comes on the scene with her giant mech, I'm like, oh, they're homaging the Japanese Spider-Man here, right? I'm probably wrong, but...
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Not trying to be insensitive or anything like that. I'm just... Whatever. The one thing that I need to go back...
You're fine.
When... I need to figure out where this is in the movie for the sequel, because I am so thrilled. I didn't hear it right off the bat, but you've got Josh Keaton and Yuri Lowenthal from their stuff. Oh man, it was so good.
Yep.
Because Yuri does the voice in the video games for Peter, for the Insomniac Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man games that are on PS, whatever. And then obviously Josh Keaton was Spectacular Spider-Man from 2008 to 2009. It's so good. Yeah, that's what I love about this movie, is they basically pull out so many cool things. I think the only thing that's missing is... But she's probably retired at this point. I don't know. I don't think he's done much anymore. But Christopher Daniel Barnes, we don't have 94 anywhere in here.
Well, we do not.
I think the closest you could say, because Ed Asner is no longer with us, even though JK is from the live actions, like with Ed Asner no longer being here, JK to me is a 94 version of JJ.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, we unfortunately... I mean, we probably... Oof. I hate to go down this route. But if they wanted to use archival voice recordings of Asner as JJ, they could.
But I liked hearing JK just as, like, I don't know. I think, like, yes, I absolutely love Ed Asner as the sourpuss that he was. But just JK, man, just anytime I think of J. Jonah Jameson now, it always goes to him more so than Ed.
You know what? Actually, I'll join you on that one. Like, I do have, for me, it kind of toggles back and forth. Like, it depends on what I'm reading, what I'm, you know, what I'm, like, looking at. You know, like, if I'm reading a comic, depending on the comic, it either toggles to Ed Asner or JK.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. It's a short film. No, I'm on a tear for our old voice for Christopher Daniel Barnes, for C.D. Barnes. He reprised as Prince Eric and Prince Charming in a short film Once Upon a Studio for this year, which Once Upon a Studio is a short film.
It's
just a short. The Walls of the Studio Could Talk, basically. Later, Mickey and Minnie spring free from pictures on. Okay, so it's your standard, you know, existential whatever. But, like, I didn't think he was, like, before that, the last thing he did was The Dino King from 2012. It was an English dub and television, the last thing he did was Ultimate Spider-Man. He was Electro, Spider Knight, Wolf Spider, video game voice, 9 episodes, Ultimate Spider-Man 2013 to 2016, yeah. Which I think I've seen that
didn't
show.
Didn't he do, wasn't there like a Spider-Verse style game that he did?
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the...
He was Electro in Spider-Man Unlimited 2014, Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was Donald Menken 2019. He was Electro in Marvel Ultimate Alliance, The Black Order. He will be reprised last year again as Prince Eric in Disney Dreamlight Valley for games. The last time he was... the last big time he was Spider, he was... I need to check that out. Marvel Heroes from 2013, he was Symbiote Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man. I need to hear his version of Superior.
I could swear in one of the Spider-Man cartoons, he played like an alternate Spider-Man, like either 2099. I could swear he played 2099.
Not
like in a video game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In video games, yes. It's alternate, but it's not. Oh yeah. Well, I didn't get to it. Yeah, you are absolutely correct. He did play Miguel. I was getting to this. So Marvel Heroes was 2013. In 2011, Spider-Man Edge of Time and Shattered Dimensions. So Edge of Time, he played Miguel O'Hara. And then in Shattered Dimensions, he played Spider-Man Noir from 2010. So, but he hasn't done anything Spider-Man related since those things, which, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, I was surprised he's only 50 years old. I thought he was a little bit older than that, but back to Across the Spider-Verse once again. Like I mentioned a moment ago, the colors in this one are just so far off. Having Miles, and folks, this is where I'm about to spoil the twist here. Having Miles put in the machine to transport himself to back to his home dimension. The colors in that scene, because he shows up at, what's her name? What's the spider tech lady? The one that does the machine there.
Yeah, I spaced out her name as well.
Talking about the tech lady who's running the machine that sends them to the places. The one that's not splitting her atoms, but she's going in multiple different directions as Miles is.
Right. She's like an AI.
Yeah, yeah, her.
It was something like, oh, Lordy, I'm trying to remember.
Okay, anyway, the people know what the heck we're talking about. I've already edited this episode enough.
Spider-Bite.
Spider-Bite. So Spider-Bite is the tech guru here, because B-Y-T-E, folks, not B-I-T-E. And Miles sneaks in, cloaked. And he powers the machine up. And she's like, wait, what happened? She's going back and forth. When Miguel breaks in to stop him after the reveal of, you are the anomaly. You're the original anomaly in every universe. You're an anomaly everywhere you go. Come to find out, he's being sent back to his home dimension, sort of, not really, because it's the dimension of where the spider came from. How did that happen? I thought that was it. I did not see that twist coming.
Yeah, no. Well, for me, it's like the first. What I like is that the way that they frame it is that he's in his home dimension, because, you know, just the way that they keep cutting back and forth.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah, he's home, but uh-oh, you know, there's trouble on the horizon. And then, you know, you start to get the little things here and there until you get the big reveal
Yeah.
Of, like, the thing honoring his dad, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Hold it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You get the big reveal of the thing honoring his dad, rest in power, and come to find out, Uncle Aaron isn't the Prowler. Uncle Aaron works for the Prowler.
Yeah. But then it's like, well, and then it's, but wait, there's more.
Uh-huh.
It's not just, you know, it's the fact that once the Prowler gets revealed, it's Miles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait, whoa, hold up here.
How did that happen?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. What? And the whole, you know, that whole also just the whole, the con, it's weird because they try to set up, that the conflict is the spot.
Right.
And which, by the way, I love the fact that the spot, you actually get, you know, he's actually a character that we saw in the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is actually, that moment is actually there where, you know, during the whole fight thing that he throws a bagel. And it's like, it's there. So, you know, it's like, it's not something where, you know, it's not one of those things. It's not like Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yes, you know, Mysterio was there during Civil War when Tony Stark was showing off barf. It's like, yes, he was right there in the background. And it's you know, this, you can actually find that moment, and I love it. I love that the filmmakers did that.
Yeah.
I love that they're like, no, this is an actual thing that happened.
Yeah,
it's just for reals.
Yeah, it's so good. It is so fun. It is such a good, good twist. Like, I was not expecting that twist at all.
Yeah. Well, for me, the big twist is the fact that we get the spot is supposed to be the big villain.
Yeah.
And by the way, love that they throw in a cameo by Mrs. Chen.
Yes, that was so good.
And I just got to love her reaction, because it's like, fudge, you know, we got that weird Venom guy, and now we got this. It's like, God, can I have a normal day? You know, it's like, she's just over it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love it. I love that she's just all, I'm over it. You know, I'm over it. I'm just trying to work here, and all this weird shit's happening. You know, it's like, why me, Lord? But, you know, they're setting up for Spot to be the big villain, and then the villain is actually Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
That he's the villain, because he's like, nope, my research says that, yeah, this has to happen this way. You got to lose your dad.
Yeah.
He's got to die, because that's the way that the multiverse works.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, man, you're willing to kill this kid's dad because that's just the way it's supposed to be. You know? So it's like, it's just got me like, wow, you know, this is, was not expecting that.
No.
I was really not expecting that. But it is, although I'm trying to think of, like, you know, ways to let, you know, I'm trying to think, because it seems, I know that Marvel has been of the what they basically have is that everything under the Marvel banner is an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's part of the Marvel multiverse. So, like, it's one of those things. It's like, we could look on, you know, we could try to find, I'm sure out there are universes where Spider-Man 2099 is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I think he's just, you know, he's become so obsessed. It's like, he's not realizing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I mean, I'm like, wow, okay, this is definitely something that I, you know, I'm curious to see how it resolves. Mm-hmm. Especially because you see that there are Spider-Men who are like, really?
Yeah.
Like, does it really have to be like this? And by the way, I do love the call out to Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh yeah, that was so good. Yeah.
Well, and especially because they used, I don't know if you noticed, but they actually use the correct designation for the MCU.
Yeah.
Like the numbering that mm-hmm. Miguel uses, that is actually where the MCU is supposed to be as far as the multiverse is concerned.
Yeah. And that is so cool.
Yeah. Oh no, that is definitely cool. That is I'm just like, wow. Yeah, no, that is really cool. I'm really glad that they use that. I remember that Mysterio in Far From Home
mm-hmm.
used the 616 designation.
Yep.
And so did, I think they also used 616 in Multiverse of Madness. And there's a part of me that's like, why are they doing, why do they say that? And it's like, okay, maybe there is an explanation for that. Maybe it's Kang the Conqueror kind of like whispering in people's ears and trying to screw up their perceptions. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Possible no prize.
Yep. Possible no prize. What else about the second movie do we need to talk about?
I'm trying to think. What have we not covered? Because talk about the, we've talked about the twist. We talked about, all the different Spider-Man. I've talked about the fact that I want my Spider-Man, my Japanese Spider-Man with the giant mech.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking, there was the chase scene, where Miles is trying to escape and all the Spider-Men are after him and all these spider people show up. It would have just been cool to have the giant mech show up and then, there's Spider-Man pops up on top of the giant mech and is like, "Surrender, for I am the ambassador from hell." It's like, in fact, actually, not my list of demands.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call it my list of demands, but yeah, that I think if you're going to bring that Japanese Spider-Man in, you need to have him talking about how he's the ambassador from hell.
Yes, absolutely.
Actual line, by the way, I'm not.
Right, right.
I'm not making this up. I'm not. And if you're listening, it's like, what? Since when is Spider-Man like that? Yeah, look it up. He is actually, that is one of the best line he actually says.
Yeah,
and I feel like you got to have that in there.
Yeah.
You got to have him talk. You got to have that in there. Just jumping in and, oh lordy.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. I feel like if I ever work on a Marvel project, I got to find the right one because
you're just going to be too excited about throwing everything at the wall.
No. See, I have a running joke with my friends and family, which is I ever work on a Marvel project, they're going to hate me because the first day I'm going to be walking in with my copies of the Marvel handbooks, I'm going to be flipping through them and going, "Can we use him? Can we use him? Can we use them? Can we use this person? Can we use this lady?" Like, I will do that. I will do that, and they're probably going to be like, "Oh God, we made a mistake."
And then the Mouse Overlord will smack you down.
the Mouse Overlord will probably just, yeah. Well, I'm sure the Mouse Overlord will use the Disney lawyers, and it's like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to use this character. Let's take you out back to the train station."
Yep.
There you go. I threw in a Yellowstone reference. Hope you don't mind.
I've got a buddy of mine who was an extra on that show, and I've never seen it. The budget for Across the Spider-Verse was $100 million. The box office was $689.8 million.
Oh.
So between both films, it's made, both of these films have made close to $1 billion. That's awesome. Now we do have
to. It does. See, that frustrates me though, in a way, because we see how successful, like, the Spider-Verse movies have been, and then you see stuff like Morbius.
Wait, and stuff like what?
Morbius.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like, you guys are not. You're not taking the right lessons. You're not paying attention. Why? Embrace, and that's the other thing also, because a project like this, also it frustrates me when you get stuff like Flash, and it's like, embrace the freaking multiverse. Like, don't be afraid. People are not going to be confused.
Yeah.
Like, don't use that as your excuse. I'll be fine.
The other thing we have to talk about, since it is a huge thing and it is a very serious thing, first of all, companies pay your people. End of story.
Yes, please.
So, well,
not just pay them. It's not just about paying them.
No, I know.
Pay them like a decent freaking wage.
Well, it's that, but it's also the fact that streaming services like Netflix, voice actors can get residuals off DVDs and things like that, but how are you going to get residuals off of the streaming of the, like, there has to be some, I don't know, I'm not going to speak on, all as I know is, and the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because the future of this franchise, Beyond the Spider-Verse, it was said, let's see, that it would not be possible to release Beyond as scheduled, which at that point had been on March 29th of next year, 2024, due to an alleged lack of production progress. Lord Miller stated that the production would take the time necessary for the film to be completed to their standards. However, in July of this year, 2023, the film was removed from the release schedule, reportedly due to the SAG-AFTRA strike. As a source within Sony, a member of the AMPTP, which, please, no movie theater toilet paper, thank you, against whom SAG-AFTRA is negotiating, told Variety that the strike precluded the film's voice cast from recording their lines on schedule. I stand with SAG-AFTRA. End of story. These giant companies, Disney,
SAG,
all of them, like... go ahead.
Like, SAG-AFTRA, the WGA, I stand with them.
Yeah.
I stand with them, and I'm just like, you know what? Look, pay your writers, pay your actors.
Exactly.
A living wage.
Yep.
And, you know, and then also it's like, this is not, you know, something I explained. I explained this to, you know, I've explained this to a couple of friends. This is not, I'm a rich actor and I want to be richer.
No.
That's not what this is.
But the companies are, we are multi-billion dollar conglomerates that want all the money and you can't have any. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's read your lines and, you know, be happy that we gave you a job. You know, it's like, no. If they're making, you know, and somebody did actually come out with, like, I've seen this a couple of places online where you look at what the companies are making versus how much it would take for them to actually, like, you know, pay their actors and their writers a decent wage. And you look at the difference, and it is like, it is a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. It is a tiny, it's like I've been taking eye drops recently for an infection. It's like taking an eye drop compared to what they make. And it's just infuriating, especially when you hear an executive going, well, we're just going to wait until they're losing their homes. You know, then they'll come crawling back. And it's like, so you're, instead of willing to talk, you are willing to have these people lose their homes, lose their job, you know, lose their livelihoods, so they'll come crawling back to you. Okay, now you don't want employees. You want basically virtual slaves.
Yeah, and that's
and just like that, evil. That like, excuse me, pisses me off because, mm-hmm. you know, I actually have done acting. I've actually have been on sets. I know these people. We're not talking, this is not, you know, none of the people that I work with are, you know, they're not, you know, this is something, they have other jobs, you know, they yeah. live, you know, this is the thing, acting is a feast or famine type of thing. It's you either are having a really good time where you're, you know, really like, you know, where you're working, you're making money, or there's a long time where you are pounding the pavement, so to speak, yep. and trying to find work because you have bills to pay.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's like with any other, you know, it's with any other thing. You know, it's like there's a dozen things. It's like when you're an Uber driver. It's like when you're freaking working, you know, it's. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so yeah, and I mean, and honestly, yeah, I do want to see, I do want a cliffhanger resolved yeah. sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah, I do too, but if it's at the cost not, yeah. of, yeah, no, hell no. Yeah. Like, if it's going to take a couple of more years for entertainment to be entertaining again, as far as, like, we've already said, these people, if they are putting in, like, voice acting, writing, all of it, whatever. Acting yep. in general, whatever. Writing in general. It's all hard work. You know, you're expected yep. to do this. You're expected to do that. Well, in return of that expectation, they expect to get paid properly. And they, like I said, I 15 years ago or so, every once in a while, I would see a voice actor say, hey, here's, like, I remember somebody posted a picture years ago on what it used to be called Twitter.
I still call it Twitter.
I
still call it Twitter. I know that
it's know X, that Elon, it's X'd out.
No, I'm sorry. I know that Elon was saying, you know, stop calling it Twitter. And I'm like, dude, you dead named your own child. Twice yesterday, I didn't tag him exactly on it, yeah. but I was just like, Elon. Twitter.
Okay,
I'm not calling it X.
But, you know, so when it was Twitter way back in the day,
yeah.
I remember seeing a couple of voice actors just saying, oh, hey, here's a picture of my, and they didn't show the specifics of it, but it was like a picture of a table with like 50 or 60 residual checks. Kind of thing, like, oh, hey, I have to go to the, and it wasn't really trying to show off, but again, that reminds me of the fact, again, like I already mentioned, how are they supposed to get residuals off of streaming rights and all this? Just please, people, the bottom line is pay yeah. your Figure employees it out.
Well, and also don't,
what they're worth.
Also, the other thing is those residual checks, because mm-hmm. there have been, with strikes, people have been showing pictures of these residual checks. They're nothing.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
These checks are nothing. It's like there's a couple of times people posted their checks, and it was like less money than it took to print the freaking check. Yeah, like more money was spent printing the yeah, it was like cents.
Yeah.
Cents yeah. as in C, not yep. you know. And so it's like, honestly, yeah, this is nothing. This is like absolutely nothing. It's actually freaking insulting, really. You know, and yeah, it's just, it's like figure a way that they can get money from the streaming, from the, you know, I'm sure that there's something. I'm sure there's some sort of deal that can be reached.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure. Nobody, like, here's the thing. Nobody is saying that the studios have to bankrupt themselves paying these people. Nobody is saying that.
The studios we just said this move, the second movie made What did I say? Whatever the hell, like $600 million, whatever it was like double the original
box. Over $600 million.
Yeah, come on, studios.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And that's the and that's the other thing, because we talk about voice actors and stuff. Voice, this gives me a new appreciation for people that we call that guy actors. Mm-hmm. This gives me a brand new appreciation, because we sit there and we're like, oh, it's that guy. Well, here's the thing. That guy or that girl, chances are they have been, why are they showing up in all these things? Because this is how they're making enough money to live on.
Yep.
The George Clooney's who have their own island and, people like that.
That's not what this is about.
They're the exception. They're the exception. They're the exception, not the rule.
Yep. All right. So did we already go over your ratings for the second movie? I don't think we did. No, we didn't.
We were.
Yep. No, that's fine. No, that's fine.
We were trying to fight the man. Okay.
Once again, folks, 1 to 4 for the recommendations. I will give it a 3. What about you?
I give it a 3 only because it's right now, I think, as far as, physical media.
Yeah.
And this is, this is going to be a pain. Sorry, guys. But I would say, given the fact that it ends on a cliffhanger, I would probably wait until, I would probably wait until the second movie comes out.
The
second movie in the movie that solves the cliffhanger.
Yes. See, that's the other problem of them doing. Oh, this is insert title here, part one, and then part. No, don't do that. If the movie's too long, have it. Do what this did, have it be two separate titles. So you have 3 separate titles. You have Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse, and Beyond the Spider-Verse. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. You know, bing, bam, boom, Bob's your uncle. There you go. 3 for me as well. 3 for you as well for that. The Universal rating system, I really enjoyed this, but I don't know. What more would you want other than your Japanese Spider-Man stuff? What more would you want out of the next movie that you would give this a higher rating than whatever?
My thing with this, I think this one, I gave the first movie
a five.
I give this 4.5, and really only because I think for me, the big problem is, and it's not the movie's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the movie's fault. It's the fact that since it ends on a cliffhanger, and there seems to be indicators that, they didn't have the solution.
Yeah.
Ready to go before that. I give it a lower one because, honestly, if it was something, I kind of wish that they would have done what happened with Lord of the Rings, what happened with Back to the Future 2 and 3, where this was being done at the same time, so we don't have to worry. It's being done at the same time, so the sequel coming out a year later, it's going to happen because we're making sure to get everything done as close as possible. And it's just the fact that we don't get this is kind of annoying, because then they've painted themselves into a corner and you have people waiting now. And it's like, is this, is it going to be one of these things where too much time is going to go by? And by the time this third movie comes out, are they going to basically burn the goodwill that they created? Is it going to be where it's like, whatever the solution is, it's not going to be worth, people are not going to feel like, oh, this has been worth having to wait an extra 6 months or wait an extra year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's my thing. That's my thing. And again, I don't blame the movie. I don't even really blame the filmmakers as much. I blame the environment that created this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you sons of bitches. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, I don't want to hear, I do not want to hear, I do not, like, anybody who, you know, doesn't work at, like, the actual creation level.
Uh-huh.
You know, who's actually, like, behind or in front of the camera working on this.
Yep.
I do not want to hear boo from about woe is me. It's like, you shut up, man. Yep. If you're not in danger of losing your home because, you know, people can't sit at the table.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not want to hear from you right now. Like, you... Yep. You do not get to cry.
Yep.
Sorry, that sounds harsh, but I'm standing by it.
No, it is what it is. I am also going to give this a 4.5 out of 5. Yep. It is on DVD, digital, all that good stuff. We are going to take one final ad break. We're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Toycast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the Geekcast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. Toycast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to Toycast.
All right, we are back here on Tooncast, and yeah, Into and Across the Spider-Verse. Very, very good animated films, and wow, just wow. Great experiences all around. Absolutely love it. So any final words from you before I run through the closing, sir?
Because I have said a lot. I have said a lot about a lot. But yeah, no, I just, of the non-MCU projects that we've gotten in the last decade that have to do with Spider-Man, I would say these two are the best.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I kind of like the Disney, not Disney, but the, what is it, Ultra, whatever the Josh ones were, not Spectacular, the new ones.
Yeah,
did Josh do those? Ultimate Spider-Man and Web of Ultimate Spider-Man or whatever it was, I think, or Web, whatever. Those are good. Yeah, whatever it was, I don't remember.
Hey folks, Future Mike here. Just want to let you know I am completely wrong. Josh Keaton was the one and only Spectacular Spider-Man. Drake Bell is in the Ultimate Spider-Man as the voice of Spider-Man for the Disney XD Spider-Man cartoons.
But yeah, so very, very cool as always. Thank you for joining us and listening to us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us for leave feedback for the show, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on X. Yes, it is called X, sadly, now. That moron renamed it. I don't know why. He had a perfectly good branding thing, but whatever. At Geekcast Radio for the network, at GCR and Tooncast, and at Tooncast Beyond for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your name on X?
Yeah, on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, I am. It's called White Balloon King, but it's spelled WHTBLLNKING because you had a character limit when creating your name.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's like you really want people to use X. It's like, dude, that is the title used for the brand that's supposed to suck.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out TuneCast, All Tunes, all the time over there, as well as Mark Who 42's Universe, as well as all the stuff that they do over there at Mark Who 42's Universe. Next time, yep. I have no idea. The show might be on hiatus. I think Steve and I are doing some other things. I could be wrong. I don't remember, but I have no plans for the next episode. So in the meantime, for now, I am TFGO and Mike with
Eduardo M. Fryer.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.